At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If a celebrity were to slide into your DMs, right, slid right in there, would you actually believe it was them? Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, there's this story that's been trending. A woman sent a Stranger Things star $10,000 over 1 year and divorced her husband because she believed that she had created an online relationship with Decree Montgomery from Stranger Things. He's the guy that played Billy Hargrove.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he was definitely on there looking for love in the regular sector. I mean, had maybe the biggest year of his acting career so far.
Yeah, no, he needs money.
Right.
He needs money, for sure.
Well, you believe all the striking stories. Maybe he did need the cash.
That's right.
But, I mean, he needs a date. I don't believe that part as much.
I just don't understand how these people fall for this. Like, if a celebrity actually slid into my DMs and was like, hey, I think you're cute, I'd love to meet up, do you want to talk, whatever, I would immediately assume that it's fake.
Yeah.
Like, why would you come to me that way? On the flip side, look what happened with Adam Levine, where he slid into plenty of girls' DMs. It was really him, and that's how he used to recruit women.
Yeah, I think that a part of you counts on that. Right. If you get a result and it works out for you one time, then you're going to try it again and again and again. And for him, it was kind of like that. Ta-da. Look, magic.
Yeah.
It is me moment. So he's cleared to seal the deal. I think it depends on the level of celebrity and what they're saying to you.
Well, that's just it. And it's also like the person whose DMs are being slid into. Like, these were models. These were like, you know, Instagram girls with like thousands of followers themselves. You know what I mean? It's a little bit more realistic. If it was, you know, you. Then probably not.
Thank you. Very, very kind.
Hurtful but true.
Yeah. Who would you actually believe it was real? Because, I mean, that was not nice what John said. But
but it's realistic.
I think realistically,
yeah.
Most A-list celebrities, absolutely not. But if it's like a 90s has-been guy like Eagle-Eyed Cherry or something like that, some nonsense from one of those bands, I'd be like, yeah, what's up?
Anna Zapp, save tonight with me.
Yeah.
Save my house. There, to make my mortgage
great
payment.
Opening line.
Yeah. There's a 90% of people listening right now that have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Slid into your DMs. Who would you believe?
To me, there's one celebrity crazy and irrelevant now enough that I could believe it, and that's Gary Busey.
Gary Busey is in your DM.
That dude's nuts. I'm like, this is definitely Gary Busey.
You and Gary Busey in the same room together would be the weirdest, most amazing thing ever.
That's
that would
the
be so great.
Point Break too. He gets back to the ghost.
I'd have a great time with
John. Who's in your DM?
T Swizzle, where you at? Taylor Swift. I'm telling you, it's gonna happen.
That's never gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
I'm telling you right now, that is never going to happen.
We're both songwriters. We're over similar age. I'm just saying it could happen.
What?
Weirdest things have happened.
If the words Taylor Swift are ever in your DMs, it's the police reaching out to you telling you you need to keep a distance.
Right.
That's what that's going to be.
Raven, who is sliding into your DMs and you're like, oh, yep, they're real?
Two names. Martha Stewart.
Right? No.
First off, Martha Stewart, she hears how much I love her. She's listening and she enjoys the show. And she knows that even though the most of you are making fun of my toward attitude for her,
she's never coming at you.
I'm just saying. And then the other one is Steven Jenkins from Third Eye Blind.
Oh, well, I saw that happen in the flesh, so
remember
I'll
that?
Sign off on. Yeah.
He kept leaning in with the kiss face.
It was a strange thing.
Whoa,
like we were
what?
At an interview, we were having an interview with him, and it was like a round small table, and little by little he just kept getting closer to Raven. And it was one of those things where I'm like, what is going on here?
Closing the eyes like this a little.
But in his defense, I think that maybe he was just exhausted. Or
I mean, that's the man who wrote Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. You should have gone for it.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Are you ready for your options today, Raven?
Lay it out.
Number one, two American tourists were caught having a sleepover in the Eiffel Tower.
Boring.
Number two, kid escapes crib and walks to McDonald's while mother was asleep.
Okay.
And number three, live frog found sealed inside organic spinach container.
I mean, that ain't nothing. You're paying for that organicness, all right? Give me some wildlife in there. I'm going to go with the kid walks to McDonald's because, I mean, who hasn't wanted to take that trip before in their life?
3-year-old from Wisconsin.
3 years old. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Woke up from his nap, put on his shoes, and he walked to McDonald's. Here's his mom.
This little boy woke up, put his shoes on, and walked to McDonald's. I don't know what time he left the house. I don't know how he left the house. We all were asleep. I was asleep on the floor. We all knocked out. And he woke up and put his shoes on and went to McDonald's. It's not funny, but it's hilarious.
It's not funny, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, he's 3 now. Imagine what that kid's going to be doing at 5. Oh, my gosh.
The escape artist kid is no joke.
No, it's a real thing.
So, my best friend Danielle, her son is an escape artist.
Yeah.
And there had been plenty of times where we have been gathered for like a party, we're all getting together, we're having a good time, and we think all the kids are playing together. One time, I'll never forget it. It was like one of our like Friendsgivings, and we were all upstairs having a good time. The kids were downstairs playing games, and we had the older kids watching the little ones too. And all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, and we were like, oh, you know, like we're all here. Like, who's coming? Yeah.
Right.
So we go to the front door. And there's Cole, 5 years old, just outside. And it was like, Cole, like, how did he get outside? How long was he out there for? And he just looked puzzled. He was like, I just left.
Did he bring back McDonald's?
He did not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was the problem.
Get back out there then, kid.
Like, when this child got to McDonald's at 3 years old.
Yeah.
How is he going to pay? Or no. If you work at McDonald's.
You feed him.
You just give him a Happy Meal?
Of course you feed him, right? Yeah. I mean, the kid walks in at 3 o'clock and he's like, I need Mickey D's. You're like, you know, while you're calling the authorities, you're feeding that kid.
You're like, do you want 4 nuggets or 6 nuggets
give
in your
meal? Give that kid some fries immediately. What's your favorite dipping sauce? Right. I mean, everybody becomes their adoptive parent for a moment, right?
I'm having this issue with Dakota. Dakota, my 4.5-year-old, is not normally an escape artist. She's got a lot of her own issues, but she's not. But this is the new thing, is because we've moved into our new home.
Right.
She's very excited because we have a big outside, which we didn't really have at the old house.
Sure.
So there's like a pond and there's frogs and there's like things to go see and do. So I've had to start putting the alarm on when we're inside the house because she just opens the door and walks out.
Yeah.
She just leaves.
Put a bell on her.
A bell on her? I was just going to put the locks really, really high. I'm going to put them so high that like I can't even reach them to get out.
Put a bell on her and then one of them proximity collars. You know, same thing. You've got it for the dog.
One of my friends just said, get an air tag. Put it on. Put one air tag on the dog because my dog keeps running away. And put an air tag on the 4-year-old because she keeps wandering out.
Possibly not the worst idea.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Time to vent. Oh, gosh, it just feels so good, even though you're not supposed to say these things out loud. They drive you nuts. This is your chance to just let it all out. 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Tabby.
So if you take the window seat on a plane, but you like keep the shade closed the whole time and never look out that window, that is all I need to know about you.
Oh, yeah. I love to look out the window, and I'm always jealous if I don't have the window seat. And now that I'm a mom, I never get the window seat anymore.
Right.
But, like, same thing with my daughter. She gets in, and she immediately closes it, my 14-year-old. I'm like, well, why did you fight me to have that seat if you weren't even going to look out the window at the beautiful clouds?
Is she nervous? Does she fly nervous, or
no.
Is she fine?
No. She just doesn't want the light. You know, she's a teenager. She wants to live in complete darkness all the time. Blackout window shade. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. I like it as long as it's like not like super bright. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you've got the angle of the sun and you open that thing and it illuminates the entire cabin. And that's a little bit much for the people around it. Other than that, though, I fly with the window open. Yeah.
Brooke, that's all I need to know about you.
If your diet plan is switching from beer to tequila, that's all I need to know about you. I have a friend who's on a diet and that's literally all she's doing.
Does it work?
It makes no sense to me.
I mean,
no.
It depends on how much beer you drink.
Yeah, that can save you a lot of calories.
I mean, I've got friends I run into, they're like, I gave up the beer for vodka this month. And I'm like, whoa, you look incredible. I mean, some people, God bless them, when that's enough, when that's all they need, it's like, you know, when you're at a certain age and you just give up soda, you're like, wow, 20 pounds come right off you as a guy. It's not the way it works for me anymore anyways.
But, I was about to say, it's always the guys. It's always the guys that are like, oh, I cut down to 17 beers a week instead of 19 beers, and now I lost 26 pounds.
Look
and
at me.
Like, wow.
I look fantastic.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Fred, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, so if your Tinder profile says that you're fluent in sarcasm, that's all I need to know about you.
who's like swipes right on that person? Fluent in sarcasm. And they're like, that's my guy.
The snarky person. Mm. You know, that likes that kind of snarky humor. Mm. Plenty of us like it. You know what it is? It's like we like to be able to turn it off when we want. Right? We want to hear it for a minute. And then when we're done, we'll be like, okay, comedy special's over. Turn it off. And when you're dating somebody and they just think they're so funny and they do that all the time, if it's that cynical humor, that can become a little bit grinding. Perfect. I got a friend who I love, and just if I get more than an hour and a half of them in one night, though, like, it's too much for me.
They're that sarcastic?
It's not even, and he's super intelligent. It's just that he's loud. Mm. He's sarcastic. He's smart and witty, but just, it's just. It's relentless. You know what I mean? Like, you get into a conversation, you share a little banter, and you want out of it. Like, let's talk about something lighter now. And it's nope. It's from that to the next thing to the next thing. It's just too much. God, I'm getting tired just thinking about the last time I hung out with him.
Scientists say that all straight men fit into three categories. And you know what?
Oh, I'm sure it's completely reliable and 100% on the money.
I was just looking over this and I'm like, but wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Raven is one of them.
Okay.
Producer John is definitely another. And producer Sean, yep, you checked that third box 100%.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I better enjoy the one that I am put in a category. There's going to be a revolt.
So confident I will not enjoy mine. But right. Yes, okay.
No, let's go into the lab. Let's get this science.
When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think that this is groundbreaking things. There's three different types of straight guys when it comes to relationships and how you deal with them. And the first is a neo-traditionalist, and that's Raven. He follows the classic gender roles as the provider and protector in a relationship. True or false? True or false?
I'm kind of a caveman in some ways.
I mean, it's true.
I like to think that I'm forward thinking in some ways, but in other ways, I'm completely crazy. So,
but when it comes to Alicia, when it comes to your wife,
yeah.
Don't you feel that you have to protect her, you have to provide for her, you have to make sure that she's always okay, that she comes first? True or false?
Yeah, I mean, yes, true.
Yes.
If I'm not protecting myself from her, my wife, my wife is a bit of a tough one herself in general too. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the classic thing: get behind me. Stand further away from the curb. If we're walking down the street, she's walking on the inside on the lawn, and I am on the outside, that kind of thing. I mean, I do the same thing with my pets. I do the same thing with anybody.
Right, and you want to know why? Because it's old school. It's for tender. It tends to be older men, okay. And there you go.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
All right. Next.
You're just an American hero, Raven.
I thought I was just, one of a third of men. Now I'm an older man. So now that's why.
Then there's producer John, who falls into this category. And I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly.
Oh, boy.
Egalitarian men.
It's egalitarian.
Egalitarian.
I mean, if you know the term, then you're probably it.
100%. I just thought that. If you could pronounce it with no problem, right. That's what you are.
If you practice this at home in front of a mirror. Then, okay, so what is it?
I mean, it's only your job to pronounce things properly, Anna, but continue.
Yes.
Now somebody's throwing stones.
Uh-huh. It's for men that look for equal partners in a relationship. So strict 50-50, like on domestic tasks, how much they bring in financially. And I think that makes a lot of sense for you, John. And even like seeing that your relationship with your ex-wife, I feel like you guys do a really good job of that when it comes to taking care of your son, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we split everything down the middle. You know, we split custody, we split stuff like that. I mean, that's an ideal in a post-marriage co-parenting situation. That is the goal, though.
What John's trying to say is
also a court order.
He treats me well.
At this point,
Or for producer Sean, your work husband, you guys split everything 50-50.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Who is Sean?
Sean is a progressive man, and the progressive men, they found to have regular conversations with their partner, and they adjust who does what. And they're usually the most modern. They're usually younger. Mm. And it's kind of like they're evolving and they're just into conversation and figuring out where they fit. And I think, I watch your relationship with Rachel, and I think that that's very much where you are. I think that you have constant conversations. You pick up where maybe she doesn't want to do things and she does the same for you. And I think that you're like constantly evolving.
You know what? I will take that because I thought it was going to be something like terrible.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I'll take the good one.
See?
Cool.
I mean, look, I was right.
Yeah, I feel like mine was the good one.
Right.
John, if you feel that way too, then I guess everybody does fit into this category.
You're all winners.
I feel like yours was the old one.
Oh, you just had to bring that back up. Okay. I take back everything nice I said.
I don't want to do this.
I mean, you brought it up in the first place.
I didn't bring it up to do it. Why? I mean,
you made the confession that you had never done it before, and as an American, it feels like something that honestly, some sort of, you know, rite of passage, you should have done it prior.
All right. Yesterday, I made the giant mistake of admitting this on the air. I've never had any kind of jerky in my entire life.
Really?
I've never had a Slim Jim. Wow. I've never had beef jerky.
Really?
I don't know. Like, I look at it, I'm like, I don't think I should eat that. Like, it's like my body is telling me that's not for you.
Yeah. I mean, you've been to fairs. You go apple picking, stuff like that. I mean, in some of these areas, just you would expect there to be some jerky, right? If you've ever been to a craft shop or anything like that, there's typically jerky out there.
Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, when I look at jerky, it makes me want to vomit in my mouth, and I'm not even going to lie. I look at it, and it turns my stomach, and I feel sick. And I walked into 7-Eleven yesterday because our boss was like, go get the beef jerky! Yeah. You better try beef jerky! And I walked in, and I looked, and there's a whole display of it. And I never felt so nauseous in my life.
But there's a there's good jerky. I'm looking at the jerky you have right now. You didn't buy any of the good jerky.
I bought whatever 7-Eleven had.
You bought them, like, massive hot dog shaped one.
Yeah. All right, so here's
I wouldn't eat that.
I mean, I mean, as far as the levels of jerky go, you bought the lowest levels. And you might have bought some of the hottest stuff that's available, too, right?
So so here's what I have. Yeah. I have an original Slim Jim.
Delicious. Doesn't really apply as a beef jerky, classic, in my opinion, though. Some people argue that you have to experience it.
A Jack Link's teriyaki beef strip.
Oh, boy.
Those are all right.
Beef strip.
Those aren't bad.
Fruit jerky. I thought this was a good one. This is a mango jerky. It's just fruit, which I thought maybe I could get away with trying that one.
That's fake.
And
that doesn't count as far as I'm concerned.
Then I got this.
A hot dog.
The Big Mama.
The Big Mama pickled sausage.
Like that one.
That sounds disgusting.
Right.
That sounds and looks disgusting. That does,
yeah. You know, so listen, as much pain as you're in and as much as you are, you know, not in, you're not anticipating this to be a pleasant experience, know this, that we are all in this together with you because we have to smell them now that you're opening
them. Oh, my God. I opened the Slim Jim. It smells.
You shouldn't have put it under your nose.
Oh, what?
You shouldn't have done that.
Smells like a Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
All right.
I'm going to do it.
All right. Give it a bite.
Do it, Macho Man.
I don't want it. No.
No, chew it.
No. Right.
No, you have to chew it.
I'll eat the rest.
This is the first one.
I can't finish it.
Sean is there immediately to be like, I'll eat the rest, and he's already got it in his mouth.
Delicious.
Like, oh my God, how many times does he chew before it goes down?
I mean, just swallow
it. That's a you question.
Fair. Fair. Fair statement. It is a you question.
Guys, I can't do this. I'm going to throw up.
No, you can do this.
No.
Wait, hold on.
Skip
hold on.
The fruit one.
Yeah, you're not going to make it through all of them, so please go with the huge, ridiculous one next, because that has to make its way into this.
I had to spit it out.
I'm eating here.
I can't do it.
It's right next to your keyboard.
Ew. Sean's halfway through his next foot and a half long Slim Jim that she brought in.
I'm only doing the fruit one. That's it.
No, the fruit one does not count.
Big one. Big one.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Guys, I can't do it.
I agree. You have to do, what is it called? The Big Mama or the Hot Mama?
The Big Mama pickled sausage. I just spit out a Slim Jim. It's disgusting. I've never on the show in the last decades had to spit something out. I just spit it out.
I'll pay one of you guys to eat that, the one that she spit up.
What is wrong with you?
You're nasty,
bro. What kind of parties do you go to?
What's the matter with you?
I can't, guys.
No, you have to do it. You have to take a bite of this. Now, everybody get quiet, please. Here, I want you to focus.
There's going to be a snap.
Why would you stick it under your nose again? Why would you do that? You learned nothing. Go.
My body was right. This is not for me.
All right, don't think about it. Oh, that was a small bite. It wasn't a real bite.
It's oddly better than the Slim Jim.
Oh, give it a real bite.
No! We're done. I did it. We're done. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Ever since this broke yesterday, I could not wait to talk about it. Britney Spears. Looks like her husband, Sam Asghari, has filed for divorce.
Mm.
And there's accusations of her cheating. And I don't know. I was like, I mean, nobody saw them get married. There's, you know, a huge age gap. Clearly, Britney has had her obstacles, you know.
How big is the age gap?
It's like 15 years.
Is it that much?
Yeah, he's in his 20s.
I thought it was like 10 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen. The whole story is crazy, right? I mean, he's been the guy that's been hanging out with her for the last 7 years or whatever, when she's been going through all this conservatorship and the dissolution of that and, you know, her family breaking apart and all that stuff. I feel like the guy's been steadfast. But, you know, the truth is that when the conservatorship ended, we all kind of were like, yay. And then we're kind of like, well,
Because you watch all like the Instagram posts and it's her just twirling around in her entranceway and dancing, and she gets this constantly naked or taking her clothes off. Yeah. And like, it's a really sad time because, first of all, when he, like, the accusations of cheating came up, I was like, wait a minute.
Who?
I thought she never left the house.
Right.
I feel like she's always in the foyer of her front house, like, in the hallway. It's where she always is.
It's got to be somebody that works there,
that's
right?
If it's not
somebody that's working in the house, who could it be? I mean, the last time she left her house was to record that song with Elton John. It's not Elton John.
They didn't leave the house.
Oh.
They never actually met to record that song together. They did it in separate studios.
Yeah.
They never actually were together for it.
The whole
thing is wild.
Sam was her trainer, you know, / dance partner, / whatever. They met on the set of this video. So who is it now? The gardener? The chef?
Know.
Like the bodyguard? Like, this is strange.
Nobody is saying that the cheating allegations are right or wrong. And again, you know, you're going through these media websites, who knows what's real and what's not.
Sure.
But I do feel sad because I do think that everybody was like, you know, it was all about empower Britney, free Britney.
Yeah.
And like, never once did we think she actually needs help.
Well,
you know,
but let's pause there for a minute, right? Because I mean, I've seen the videos and I think that they're nuts. So let's just take it back for a minute and think to yourself for a minute. Say it's not Britney Spears. Say it's Madonna. And what are you saying?
It's different.
Because Madonna has done this anyways throughout her career, and you wouldn't call her on this stuff.
It's not true. It's different because if you read the writing, and this is only my personal opinion, of course, if you read the writing that Britney posts, it is incoherent. It doesn't make sense. It is like, it seems like something is missing.
Madonna, did you see those Madonna bathtub photos?
Yes,
and
but,
the posts
but Madonna
of that?
Is
that didn't make
trying,
a lot of sense.
But that's her MO, that she's trying to provoke and all that. But when you read what Madonna has to say, like, it makes sense. She's just trying to create art. I don't think Britney's trying to create art. I think that she needs help. That's what I need. And it's sad because she does not have a relationship with her family again. First, things were getting better with her mom. They're not. She doesn't talk to her sister anymore. Who does she have left? Like, she needs somebody to step in and to help her during this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't have her husband now, who was the only person that we believed was actually helping her.
You know, I mean, on the one hand, I don't know. You make some points, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, she's just in the studio supposedly with Will.i.am a month ago, and he's like, she's full of ideas. Like, she's a song machine.
I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't think that giving up like the conservatorship was a bad idea because that had to happen. She's, you know, an adult, but I do think that she needs around the clock care. I do.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's not going to be from Sam Asghari.
No, it's not.
Sad day.
Yep. Did you ever get a nickname and you didn't like it, but it stuck with you and that was the end of it? Yeah, it happens. I have one through college that I couldn't stand. I'm not even going to say it because I hate it. I finally got rid of it.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not going to.
You mean you have to?
No.
I had some classic nicknames. Uh-huh. I only hated one or two.
Which ones did you hate?
Yeah, well, Raven was one that I had when I was younger. But Juice was my nickname for many, many years.
But you liked that.
Yeah, I loved it.
It's so corny.
But I had a terrible one, Mad Dog, for whatever reason. Somebody used to call me Mad Dog for a minute. My buddy Jamie tried to make that happen, and it was just dumb. Like, what do you do when somebody calls you out with that being your name? Do you have some sort of, like, tantrum? Do you roll around Tasmanian devil style? I mean, I don't know what you do when that's your nickname.
Yeah.
And with Raven, at least I could just be, you know, like, moody, dark. Myself.
I don't think of it like that. I don't think Raven like that.
Yeah.
Nickname.
Well, you know, when you're in fourth grade, your depth and understanding of Poe.
Yeah. Producer John, I know you're having an issue right now with your father and your son.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my dad is in town now from L.A., which is where he usually lives. And he's a professional actor. And I say that to demonstrate he's a character. Raven loves my dad.
I do.
He's a huge fan.
I kind of do. Yeah.
But he's a theatrical guy and he's a nicknamer. And he has given my son a nickname. And the nickname is Yojimbo. Like, if you're a fan of, like, old samurai movies, Kurosawa movies, there's a very famous one called Yojimbo. Now, let me give you a little backstory. My son's name is James. So, let's follow this progression, right? James turns into Jimmy, which no one calls him but my father, and actually my son's mother hates it. But James turns into Jimmy, which turns into Jimbo, which turns into he sees my son and goes, Yojimbo.
Yojimbo.
And now it's Yojimbo.
Yojimbo. Yojimbo is, how does James feel about that?
James thinks it's hysterical. He has no problem. I'm just like, hey, buddy, you ready to go see Grandpa? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what's Grandpa say? He goes, Yojimbo.
Yo, yeah.
And he thinks it's the best.
And the more that it might annoy you, the more he's going to like it on top of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's really, I mean, it's funny. It's His mother is the best, and she's my dear friend. It's funny to watch her freak out about it, though. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, she hates it so much.
What if it sticks? And then all of a sudden, like, there's other people in your family that are calling him Yojimbo.
You got to talk to him. To your father and tell him to stop this right now.
Well, it's funny because Dakota, my little one, she's 4 and a half, but her name is Dakota. And immediately when she was born, my husband started calling her D. And I didn't like it. I was like, her name is Dakota, and he called her D, and he called her D all the time. And my mom, like, talked to me about it. She's like, you know, Anna, Paul started calling Dakota D. I don't like it. I think you should tell him to stop. Well, you tell my husband to stop. What do you think he does?
Oh, yeah, no, he's going to double down.
Your mom is hiding behind you to talk to Paul, but yet if they need something moved or whatever, they'll call him immediately.
Well, my parents have the thing. Like, my parents are from Italy, and for some reason, me, my sister, and my brother, I've all given our children these very American names that they have a hard time pronouncing.
Yeah. Mm.
So, in her mind, at least Dakota ended in a vowel with an A. And that we should respect that it's almost maybe Italian one day. I can say that one, right. So, you know.
I mean, D ends in an E if you phonetically, I don't know.
No, I know.
Hey, Jimbo.
Yojimbo.
Yeah.
Yojimbo.
That one ends in a vowel.
Do you have a nickname that's terrible? What is it? Raven, this is what we'll do. We'll take these nicknames that are terrible.
Yeah.
You tell us how you got that nickname, and we'll give you a better one.
Oh, yeah, and I can fix that immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
Do you have a terrible nickname, one that somebody gave to you and it stuck with you even though you can't stand it? What is it? Tell us why you got it, and we're going to give you a better one. 1-800-330-9999. Ed?
Yeah, my friends call me the gobbler because I finish everyone's plate, and I gorge out at every meal. And it's just, you know, it's a little embarrassing when they say it in front of girls. But, yeah, I guess my mouth is always full whenever they catch me, so... They call me the gobbler.
I have a nickname for you immediately that my dad uses all the time, but I have to Google and make sure it's not a swear in Italian first.
Funny how a nickname can be cool when you're 12 or 14 and be completely embarrassing once you are past the age of, like, you know, 23.
Well, I would tell you that my father would call you a gavone, somebody that eats everything. A gavone.
That sounds better.
I would go with Notorious. You know, nobody was better than Big Papa at being a guy that seemed to have an appetite for all types of different things, but still be the person that the crowd loved the most.
Mm.
I'm going to go with Papa.
I'm going to stick with Gavone.
Or Notorious. Or the B.I.G. Gosh, rappers really haven't made. They come up with as many names as they want.
And they just get to keep them all.
I know.
Yeah, you know, so all of their names, right? Like Sean Diddy. P. Diddy.
Mm-hmm. Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
Puffy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They all have that's so exciting for them.
Very versatile.
Rachel, what is your terrible nickname?
When I was young, I was always the smallest, like the littlest kid in the class. Somehow I got the nickname Bug, and it kind of just changed to Bugs at some point. I have a lot of aunts and uncles, and they all still just call me Bugs, and I'm, you know, in my 40s.
Because you're little? Because you're small. Okay, call her
I was
Bugs.
Little, yeah.
I've got a couple already.
All right, go give it me.
Lil R, you know, if you put Lil in front of anything, it just makes you sound cool. Or, continuing on with the Bug vibe, you could call yourself Roach. Put one of those teardrop tattoos on your cheek, and then people would think that you were a gangster.
Okay, those are options.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas?
I kind of liked Bugs better, honestly. I was going to tell you to stick with that.
No,
it
tells me you got big teeth.
Because you think Bugs Bunny.
Automatically.
I don't. I think of adorable little ladybug. How about Ladybug? That at least, like, you know.
Now she's 3?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I'm telling you, a switchblade and a well-placed tear tattoo, and your neighbors are going to be a whole lot nicer to you from now on.
All right, John.
Thanks.
What was your terrible nickname? We're going to give you a better one.
It's kind of embarrassing. I actually got this nickname when I was a baby. My parents and my brother, they started calling me Stinks. Yeah, it stinks.
My sister's nickname was Stinky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just called me Stinks, and it was because, like, I guess when I was a baby, I had, like, really, really, really bad gas that would, like, clear rooms out.
All babies do.
I mean, I don't remember it, you know?
It's so funny. When my sister text messages me, I don't know how it happens, it still pops up Stinky.
What are your other nicknames for her? Maybe we can use one of those for him.
How about Pass the Gas John? Pass the Gas John. Do you like that one, Pass the Gas? It'd
be so much better.
I might like Stink better. Gas.
Unfortunately, his name is John, so we can't change his actual first name.
Bart Fart.
No, it's disgusting. No. What's yours, Raven? What do you got?
Musk, just because he put out a strong odor. Right, you know, but Musk carries a certain air of, you know, power nowadays and influence.
Old man, right? Only an old man would think that Musk carries a power. That's just
well, I mean, it'd be a cool tag as far as like on your X account, but it may be taken. You'll have to look into that.
Do you ever see a job and you were like, wait a minute, I can't believe somebody actually gets paid for that. That's so cool.
You sound a little bit jelly.
Oh my gosh, I saw this and I was like, I could do this. This is the coolest thing ever. There is this woman that was super viral on Instagram and TikTok because she's a Foley artist. Now, until yesterday, I had no idea what a Foley artist is. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, you guys all knew. It's somebody that makes sound effects that goes with the movies. So, essentially, they just make sound effects. And this woman went viral because she was writing off her Louboutin heels because she was, like, mimicking women walking in high heels in movies.
Let's see how good she is. Do you have any samples of her stuff?
I don't have her stuff, but I do have people talking about what it is to be a Foley artist.
All right.
Foley is the art of sound. It's creating sounds in sync with what's happening on screen.
So basically, they're watching the movie behind them, and they're mimicking it, and they've got like all kinds of stuff.
Oftentimes, Anna, people from radio are the people that work in these industries, because it's called theater of the mind.
Well, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, no wonder why I'm obsessed with it, because it's like right up our alley of what we do.
It's also kind of cool, because it's like they get it inside to see the movie before anyone else.
Well, right.
You know? You feel like, you think they have to like sign some sort of like non-disclosure like form to say like we won't say what happens.
What if you worked
over here filling out a job application?
Yeah, right?
What if you worked 3 days on the perfect sound and then they cut that clip from the movie?
The reproduction of sound effects added to film in post-production is called the art of Foley.
Like, doesn't that sound something art so regal you want to be a part of?
Yeah.
Here's how they do it.
This is what we use for horse hooves. They're plungers, and we stuff them with cloth and a little tape. And here we go.
It sounds just like a horse.
Yeah, it really does.
It's a plunger.
I was a fan of the coconuts in the Monty Python, though. You know?
Yeah. I mean, just get the horse. I mean, what? Now we're taking the horse's job away?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's like because you can't pick up the audio sound of the horse.
Right. And you need it to be, you know, 5 seconds this time and 35 seconds the next time. And you need it to sound like it's coming closer or going away. So, yeah, there's a difference.
For snow, what we normally use is regular play sand. And then to add to that, sometimes you hear that familiar crunch, which we use cornstarch.
This guy's giving away all my secrets right
now. Yeah. All your secrets.
Giving away all my stuff right now.
All right, I'm going to play an audio sound, right? Mm-hmm. And you tell me, what do you think it is?
Yeah.
Sean, this first one is for you.
All right, let's hear it. Did someone just throw up at the end there? What was it? I mean, it sounded like crinkling paper.
That was the sound effect for ripping somebody's head off.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You missed it.
Gee,
just barely.
Like,
sorry.
Combat?
And they use lettuce to make that sound effect. Lettuce. Ripping lettuce off.
I love lettuce.
All right. Raven, how about this one?
Go. It's kind of weird. I mean, is that scissors?
Take a shot,
so.
Man.
I'm going to say scissors, but I'm wrong.
It is pine cones, and they are making roaches running. Roaches running across.
Roaches running. I'm sorry. I missed that one.
So specific of a sound.
It's been a long time since I lived in an apartment with roaches, I guess.
John, you want one?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think this is?
Okay, wait. The second sound threw me off, but it sounded like rain in the beginning.
It's a rocket launch, and the rocket launch is made with crumpling paper, which seems so anticlimactic.
I think that honestly we could do better on some stuff.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because there is a sound effect that I can make with my mouth that is so good that I am relatively certain.
I know
that
which one you're going
to
do.
I can sell it to major movie studios. When I do it, you'll know exactly what it is. It's coming up next. Get ready to have your mind blown.
Wow.
I just learned what a Foley artist is. And it's somebody that does the sound effects for movies. Like, they literally put on the high heels and they stomp around for the movies and they dub it in. And I thought, wait a minute. We are a room full of radio people. If anybody can make sound effects, it's us.
We can do this.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, we're going to show our best stuff, and you're going to guess what it is, okay? All right. All right. Now, this is the one sound effect that I can make.
Everybody get quiet. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's uncanny.
So good. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know.
Right?
I know. Any guesses?
I mean, I already know what it is. I don't have to guess.
It's a 1980s hairspray.
Oh, ooh. My gosh. Oh, yeah. Good job.
Specific to the 80s, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yep. All right, who's going next?
That's right.
One of you guys should go next.
All right. I'll go.
Sean, you're first.
I got one. I got a good one. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anna's face right now.
Come on. It happens to you daily. Think about
it. Do it again.
Is it your stomach growling?
He got it.
Yes! Dude!
Could have also been a demon from hell.
We're going to be rich. Could have been. A movie company could buy all of us, and we're going to be so rich.
Yeah, that's not how you get rich. But okay. Yep.
All right, John, right. Next. John.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah. Mm.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting.
Is it a
volcano? My gosh, what was that?
Do you need it again?
I need it again.
Do you need it again?
Yeah. No, it's something bubbling over like a volcano. Is it a volcano?
Is it a volcano?
I always described it as drinking soda out of a can.
Well, if you have an acid reflux, kind of a volcano, maybe?
It's like the sound of the can, not the sound of your insides.
It's actually pretty good.
Doctor, bro.
It was actually pretty good just from your mouth. It was pretty good, but it was also disgusting. All right, I'm going to give you an old classic, but I got to get some of my materials in place here. So.
Well, you brought materials. Oh, my God, look at you.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, you're making a mess over
prepared.
There.
Prepared.
Yeah. We're allowed props? I didn't know we were allowed props.
These are not props. These are tools, John.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Now, listen, everybody. Here we go. Anybody?
You look so happy.
Anybody? Anyway.
I just want to paint this picture
here,
for you.
One more time.
Right now, Raven has a hard surface, and he's put sprinkles and sugar, and he has a disgusting Lubriderm lotion that he's using to crush the things.
Yeah.
One more time. Is there a rat walking?
It might be. It's walking on ice with sand on it.
Oh!
Oh, you like that?
Ice so with sand on it.
Now, wait a minute. I've got a couple variations here. It goes with that classic walking on leaves.
Okay. That's
actually pretty good.
Here we go. Walking on snow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before everyone thinks you're a genius, you're playing this off the board. You are not doing this right now.
Walking on creaky floor. And then, of course, walking on sunshine.
You're so cheesy.
Thank you. Thank you.
It felt good, though.
But not for nothing. If you're a movie person, I'm available.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Kevin and Aubrey. Kevin, I know you're all upset. What happened?
Okay, so, I'm a, kind of smart financial kind of guy. I like to, be frugal at times and know what we're spending and know what we're doing. And what does Aubrey do? She shows up at the house with an $18,000 Honda Pilot, okay, without telling me. She cannot go out and just purchase an $18,000 car without consulting me. Like, what the hell?
So, wait a minute. Let me understand here a little bit more. So, Aubrey, were you in need of a new car, or did you just, feel like, that's it, I'm sick of my car, and I'm going to buy a car today?
No. We had discussed that I needed to upgrade, but I had an opportunity to get this, great deal on this used Pilot, and I just pulled the trigger. I did it. It wasn't like I spent, $40,000 on something.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a big financial chunk of change that we should talk about together. before spending that much money.
Do you like the car, Kevin? Do you dislike the car? Do you think it's practical? Do you think it's impractical? What?
I personally, I don't think her going and taking $18,000 in cash, mind you, in cash, and buying a 2012, it's a used car. You know, look, I get it. Cars are expensive these days, but it's over 10 years old with problems that we're going to have to fix. That's going to have to come out of our pockets, mainly my pocket now, that she's gone and done this.
So you think it's a very impractical choice? I can see.
Short answer is yes.
Aubrey, you like the car. What happened?
Well, okay, first off, like, I actually do know a little bit about what I'm talking about, like, as far as cars go. I made sure I did an extensive, like, collision check. I know the guy at the dealership, too, so I got, like, a really nice deal. And he's the one who reached out to me and was like, you better snatch this up. So I took the opportunity to do that, and I love it. I think it's great.
I think the big question...
It's 11 years old.
I mean, it doesn't... Okay, put aside the car. This is Aubrey's car, so if that's what the car she wants, okay, great. My bigger question, Aubrey, is why didn't you tell him or text him or something to give him the heads up that you wanted this car and that you were going to go buy it?
I don't know. I just kind of thought, like, you know the stereotype that you, like, need your husband there to, like, buy your car? I was like, no, I'm going to go get it on my own, like... I want this, and it's not, I didn't go buy a brand new car off the lot, you know, it's a used car, I had a great chance to get it, and so I just brought it home, and it's not like I was hiding it from him, I just, you know, made a decision on my own.
Yeah, all right, I mean.
So I'm clear here, this is shared finances, obviously, this is not just coming out of your account, Aubrey, you're married, and it's your money together.
That's correct, but we both make about the same salary, so. Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you make a purchase like a car without consulting your significant other? What do you think? Maybe you're with Aubrey. Yeah, it's your shared money. That's the car you wanted. You got what you thought to be a good deal. You went and you bought it. Or they may see Kevin's side, too. It's too big of a decision and a financial commitment to make without checking with your spouse.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
What would you do if your spouse went and bought a new, well, I should say a used car, bought a new used car without telling you and spent $18,000? That's exactly what happened with Kevin and Aubrey. Aubrey says Kevin knew she was in the market for a new car. So when she got a call from a sales guy saying, I've got a car for you, she went down by herself, saw it, liked it, bought it, paid cash. And you know what? Kevin not happy about that.
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of alarm bells here. Number one, first off, you didn't call me and tell me that you were doing this deal right now. Second off, the vehicle is over 10 years old. You paid X amount of dollars for it. And I got to tell you, when a salesperson is calling your wife, cold calling them at home or on their cell phone or whatever, saying this is the car you got to have, then that's a red flag that this is the car that you probably don't need to have unless that's your brother or your father or something like that.
But she's an adult.
Yeah.
They both work. It's equal money.
Right.
And she needed a car and she bought it.
And she doesn't have to make sure that she has his permission or something like that.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Hannah and Raven.
I am on Kevin's side. I have to say, if my wife came home and made a decision with that amount of money on her own, I'd be pretty upset about it.
Yeah, it's not so much that you like the car or dislike the car. It's just you feel like, you know, somebody did something a little bit underhanded, I guess.
I think that she realizes that also. I just think that she, at this point, sort of wants to have the upper hand for some reason. Like, she wants to make her own decisions. And I think she's proven the point as far as that.
I remember when I did pre-Cana, like, before I got married, you had to go to the church and fill out a form or something. We had to write down how much one could spend without checking with the other.
Yeah.
I wrote 3,000. He wrote 100. It was very a good different conversation for us to have before we got married. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. What if your wife went and bought a car on her own, spent $18,000 to buy a used car? Now, here's the thing. You knew that she was looking for a car. She'd been looking for a while, but that day came. She got a phone call from a rep, from a sales guy saying, I've got a car for you. She showed up, didn't even let you know, just brought the car home, bought it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one thing to be having the conversation for weeks leading up to it going, you know, I need a new car. I need this or I need that. And if you haven't made a plan to go out there and make it happen, sooner or later, you got to count on that person to do it.
Right. That's exactly what's going on with Kevin and Aubrey. Aubrey did it. She went, spent $18,000 on this used SUV. Kevin is mad. Yeah. How do you spend $18,000 without giving me the thumbs up, making sure I'm cool with it before you go and spend that cash? It's our shared cash. Now, they both work. Don't get me wrong. It's both their money.
Yeah, but he doesn't love the car, and he doesn't love the deal.
Mm.
And maybe if he had been part of it from the get-go, he would be more, you know, up for that.
It's her car. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Anna, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. I mean, I get it. It's nice to be independent and, you know, do your own thing without your husband. But that's a big, I mean, $18,000, we're not talking about $200 here. You know, it's something she definitely should have discussed with her husband. So I'm on his side.
What if I sent a $5,000 payment today? Now we're bouncing stuff. Now it's getting crazy. Mm. What's happening here? I mean, just a heads up. Right? Would have been
good. Hal, what do you think?
So I call it financial infidelity.
So you're on his side.
Absolutely. 100%. I have a shared similar situation financially with a girlfriend that I've been with for 20 years. She went out and bought a horse for over $20,000 without consulting
them. Wow. Oh, my
gosh. I call it financial infidelity.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Call me. Text me. Tell me you're on the horse and you really enjoy them before you actually make the wire transfer.
What if you really like the horse?
I mean, I'm sure you like the horse. What's not to like about the horse? Right. But, yeah. Listen, you know, financial mistrust is a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
You know, my first marriage, there was a lot of that going on, and it was one of the worst things. It's kind of the reverse now with my wife. Now is she won't spend anything. I'm always telling her, just buy it. You saw something you liked and you didn't come home with it. Why?
Robin, what do you think?
I'm on her side because I did the exact same thing. We had a Lincoln Continental and discussed about buying a new car. I went out and traded it in for a PT Cruiser. My husband told him he wasn't happy with me, but it was my car.
Yeah, the PT Cruiser is such a polarizing vehicle. It really is. It really, you either love it or you hate it. Oh, man.
He's like, you filled a Lincoln for a cruiser? Right. I was like, yep.
Right. I don't know. It'd be hard to swallow on my end, too.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kevin, our audience agreed with you today. Aubrey, you should have sent him a text. You should have called him. You should have given him a heads up. Something to say, I'm about to drop $18,000 on this. Are you cool with it?
Okay.
Thanks for the people that are with me. Makes sense to me.
I don't agree because I don't think that every decision like that, you have to like run by your spouse. Like it wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, I mean, I think that on the one hand, obviously you have the choice to drive whatever you want to. If it was me personally, I would hope that my spouse would talk to me about it to get my reaction. But ultimately, if I didn't like the car that she wanted to purchase, but she still wanted to purchase it, how mad could I really be when she did it? It's just that first finding out. It's that first situation where you're like, wait a minute, this came out of the bank account for this? Wait a minute, what? What? You know, just tell me one day and then come open the car the next day or 2 days later. That would have been me.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,600 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains August 18th through the 21st. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Thank you.
Nicole, are you going to take him down today or what?
I'm hoping to.
All right. Can you please ask him to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Nicole. Good luck.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. When that big old door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in. I ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, pop star Pink set a record for being the first female to headline a stadium tour at the American Family Field Stadium in Milwaukee. Finish the next lyric from her song, So What? So what?
I'm still a rock star.
Number two, Universal Orlando unveiled its new attraction, Minion Land. What character is the lead boss of the Minions?
Gru.
Number three, Rachel Zegler is being criticized for saying she has never been a fan of Snow White, despite the fact that she's portraying her in the new live-action remake. She made her film debut in what 2021 Steven Spielberg film?
West Side Story.
Number four, Taylor Swift is the subject of a new university course on social psychology at Arizona State University. Who is the mascot for Arizona State University?
Oh, the Cardinal.
And number five, Rory Ehrlich, a 6-year-old from Pennsylvania, won this year's Kids Mullet Championship. The man who sings, Do You Think I'm Sexy, was voted as having the best mullet of all time. Who is that?
I don't know, Billy White Cyrus, I mean.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in. Let's see, Nicole, if it's enough.
Okay.
All right, 3 out of 5 for Nicole.
Not great, not terrible. $2,600. Don't be nervous.
Are you nervous, Raven? Are you nervous?
Let's play.
Number one, pop star Pink set a record for being the first female to headline a stadium tour at the American Field Stadium in Milwaukee. Finish the next lyric from her song, So What?
Mm.
So what?
I'm still a rock star.
Yes. All right, number two, Universal Orlando unveiled its new attraction, Minion Land. What character is the leader boss of the Minions?
It's Steve Carell, Gru.
Gru is correct.
Yeah.
Number three, Rachel Zegler is being criticized for saying she has never been a fan of Snow White, despite portraying her in the new live-action remake.
Yeah.
She made her film debut in what 2021 Steven Spielberg film?
She was in West Side Story.
Yes, I didn't think you guys would know that. You both knew it. All right.
Steven Spielberg.
Number four, Taylor Swift is the subject of a new university course on social psychology at Arizona State University. Who is the mascot for Arizona State University?
Isn't that the Sun Devils?
Yes, yeah. It is. And number five, Rory Ehrlich, a 6-year-old from Pennsylvania, won this year's Kids Mullet Championship.
Nice.
The man who sings, Do You Think I'm Sexy, was voted as having the best mullet of all time. Who is that?
Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart.
Come on, he's coming. He's going to be on tour in a couple weeks. I'm sending my mom.
I'm going to see Rod Stewart.
Are you?
Yeah,
you're
going to
be in the suite with my mom.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. I'm going to hang out with your mom.
Get my mom lit.
Does your mom also think Rod Stewart is sexy?
Oh,
Do you know he has 8 kids from 5 different women?
Yeah, he just had one like a year ago.
I know.
Yeah.
He's like 80-something years old.
Oh, yeah.
It's so sexy with that
mullet.
Well,
he's forever young.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Nicole. Raven beat you 5-3 today. That's going to give you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Nicole, and I can't
see them. Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,700 tomorrow, Anna.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.